Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is my friend Jeff Walker. So you may remember, we talked about Jeff, Jeff and I talked on a previous interview about the first launch of his book called Launch. So Jeff is the creator of the product launch formula. He is the author of the book called Launch. I mean, he's literally transformed the way stuff sold online. I went through a ton of his stuff. When I was getting started with my online business, we followed his process for our first couple of product launches. I mean, this is how Self-Publishing School, we went from like zero to 1.32 million in the first 11 months, and it was following the product launch formula. So this guy is just, I mean, created essentially product launches. His students have done over $1 billion in online sales from their launches. So the guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to launches. You can check out the previous episode if you're interested in learning about the first version of his book or how he hit New York Times bestseller. We talked about how the New York Times kept him off the list. He reloaded, came back, made the list. We talked about, I think it was a $5.1 million product launch off of that book, like all that stuff. Not talking about it here. Check it out in the last episode. Today, we're here to talk about relaunching a book, okay? And some of the, it's kind of somehow how some of the product launch formula principles have evolved and can be used to launch your book successfully. So Jeff just relaunched his book. And so we're going to be talking all about that. Jeff, welcome.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Chandler.
Hey, so first, I want to hear this. Why did you decide to relaunch this book? I just look up and I'm like, man, I haven't talked to Jeff in ages. And I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's this new version of his book on Amazon. Why did you decide to relaunch?
It's a good question. So the first version came out in 2014 and it was a number one New York Times bestseller in like the second or third week. It sold many, many, many copies, done really, really well. And we're in an industry that always wants the new. You know, before we started recording, we were talking about that. Everyone's always about new. And yeah. The reality is what's covered in the book is my formula I've developed. We call the product launch formula. I've developed it over a very long time and it works really, really well. The strategies they've been working since I started my first online business in 1996. They're going to continue working for another 50 or 100 or 200 years because they're based in the way humans make decisions and what influences humans. But strategy and tactics change. And I think a lot of people look and they see a pub date of 2014. They're like, this is about online marketing. It can't possibly be relevant. So frankly, a big part of it was just because people were like, that can't be relevant anymore and just glossing right over it. So that was one. And the other is that I had a new publisher that's excited about. Mm-hmm. And the third, the big one is, even though the strategies endure, the actual tools and tactics evolve all the time, as you know. And so I had to update for the latest tools and tactics.
That's great. And then how did you see this? How did this fit in with your business? Like, how did you see relaunching helping kind of grow the business at the phase that you're at now?
Well, you know, the first book was extraordinary for the business. Like you just said, we had that launch. Well, I mean, we do multi-million dollar launches. That's what I do. I teach how to launch, but I also use my own formula and use it very effectively. And I've had more multi-million dollar launches than I can count. And a big part of that, a part of my lead flow is people get the book, they read the book, they love the book, and then they find their way online into my world. So it's been a great lead generator. We did that $5.1 million launch, that was our biggest launch. And that was shortly after the book. So the book clearly had something to do with that. And the funny thing about books is it's hard to quantify exactly, but you can see the leads coming in and those leads from books are the best leads there are. period. Mm-hmm. And you know this.
Why are they for your business?
I think because they invest that time with you and they really come to know you through that book. And, you know, I sweated over that book. I worked for, it took over 2 years to write the first edition. Mm-hmm. And I probably shouldn't be saying that to your people, but, you know, there's different ways to write a book, and you can hammer through it. You can have a ghostwriter, you know, all kinds of different ways. But for me, it was very, very personal work, and I wanted it to be amazing. And I consider myself a writer first and foremost. And so I was a perfectionist way more mm-hmm. than I should have been. But, you know, so yeah, the book was great for the business. And I knew the number of sales of that book was slowly declining because it was 7 years old. Mm. And, you know, it was no longer at the top of all the lists on Amazon because you know, people were like, this book can't be relevant at 7 years old. Yeah. So I sat down and rewrote it, knowing that this book will live for probably another 7 or 10, whatever years. And it will generate lots more leads. And I mean, also, you know, I wrote the book because I knew it would grow the business, but I also wrote it because I wanted that the legacy piece. You know, I invented this process, and sooner or later, history books are going to be written and someone's going to get the credit for this. And I figured I was the one who invented it. I might as well get credit if I wrote the book. Yeah. Then maybe
plant your flag on these concepts and frameworks and all those things.
And then finally, I just wanted to reach more people and help more people. I know that sounds trite, but I've been in business a long time. I've done really well. And these days I'm in it mostly for impact. You know, I love the income. I love the lifestyle. I love having people tell me I changed their lives. But, you know, at the end of the day, these days, I don't really need to do this anymore. I'm doing it for the impact. And if I can help more people with the book than I can with an online course, then so much the better.
That's great. And the book will be here long after you're off this earth, still changing lives and helping people, which is, it's a beautiful thing. Talk to me, or actually quick follow-up question. If you don't know this, totally fine. Do you any ballpark on how many copies the first version sold?
No, I don't. I mean, I know it was well over 100,000 my original publisher, they really weren't very good telling me. It was just tough to get results, but it was,
got it.
I know it, well, it hit 100,000 in the first year or two. So I know we're way north of that.
Yeah. Hey, talk to me about that. I had that kind of on my list of questions and things I was curious about. You said you got a new publisher that you're excited about. How did that process go down? I mean, I've got so many questions, I'm sure other people will too, of why did you decide to change publishers? How does that process work, especially for people who are like, hey, I published a book with a different publisher and I want to do an update or revised version with a different publisher? Like, how does that process work and why did you decide to switch publishers?
Yeah, so a number of years ago, actually it was in 14 when that first book was about to come out, and Reed Tracy, who's the CEO of Hay House Publishing, came into my world. He actually joined my mastermind. So I've gotten to know Reed really, really well over the years. You know, after eight years of being in my mastermind, meeting with together 3 times a year, gotten to know him really well. And they've built out a really great business publishing section of their company. And I love Reed. I love their company. And he's like, hey, you know, if you ever want to do a new edition, then we'd love to have you. And it was literally that simple. So I know this might not be the best answer for everyone, but it was someone I've known really well for a long time that really wanted me. And it was just literally a handshake deal that then became paperwork and contracts and stuff like that. But I knew I was going to do it. I didn't go shopping. I just knew this was the deal. Yeah. And part of it is because they have a great distribution deal for me. I'm able to buy the books. First of all, I can, not giving up my IP. They're super friendly to our kinds of businesses. Nice. So I didn't give up any IP. And I can buy the books from them super cheap if I want to sell them direct from my site. Most publishers won't allow you to do that. And then they hand off my prior publisher. They were very, very gracious. And they said right from the start, you know, if you're ready to move somewhere else down the road, fine. And they were good, true to their word. And they're like, so they just at one point I'm like, okay, we're moving over in about a year. We're going to publish through Hayhouse. And it was just all went very, very smoothly.
Cool.
You know, one thing that was on my mind is we had a lot of reviews. I think over 2,000 reviews.
Yes. For the first book. Yes.
And most, you know, it was like 4.4, 4.5 stars, most of them five-star reviews. And I was wondering if I could keep those reviews. And in the end, we're starting over from scratch on the reviews. So
I saw that. Yeah. And I had a couple of questions on that. So I guess first off, just for clarity's sake. So did you buy back the rights? Did they give you the rights or did they keep the rights to that first version?
They basically gave them to me. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So, wow. Yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah. They were super chill and sort, and it was Morgan James. And so a lot of folks might work with them and, you know, they had said right from the start, they're another one that you don't give up your IP when you go with Morgan James.
Yeah.
And so they worked with our kinds of businesses, but right from the start, they'd like, you know, if down the road you want to move somewhere else, then it, no problem. And like I said, they're true to their word and totally cool about that.
That's awesome. How did, I was going to ask about that. Cause I saw, I was like, new listing, new publisher, new cover. That's interesting. Like all those different things. This might be just minutia that didn't get, you didn't have any eyes on, but, what was the final thing of like, why couldn't the reviews pass? Is that because the account was probably owned by Morgan James and then it probably had to get a new account or was there something else that like, you couldn't keep the same Amazon listing?
It's all above my pay grade. I literally, I'm like, really cool if we could do this, we'll get those reviews back. I think we're already, you know, the book's been out for 3 months. I think today is like 3 months exactly. And we're I think it's like 230 reviews already.
Yeah. So about a tenth of where you were. But they're fresher reviews and you'll stack that over time. Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right. So if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. Yeah. So let's talk. I want to talk a lot, obviously, about the marketing of the relaunch and all that stuff. But before then, I think it'd be interesting to talk about the writing and writing the updated and revised version. So just quick side note for those who don't know that are listening or watching, I'm telling you, Jeff, before this, I'm working on an updated and revised version of my book published. It's funny, the corner's cut off so I don't give this book away. I don't know if you had this, you know, you write up the whole book and I had it where I had like all these notes and you got all these copies of your book around the house. And then I went to move and I realized I'd given the one that I marked up away. And so I cut the corner off to make sure that doesn't happen again. I'm like, gosh, I don't know. I guess they didn't read the book or they probably would have reached out, whoever it was. I'm working on an updated and revised version. So, you know, obviously I'm super curious about this. I just finished the rough draft 2 days ago. I'm 5 chapters into self-editing and I'm launching in about 45 days. So I'm basically doing the process that we teach at Self Publishing School, which is, hey, go from start to published in as little as 90 days if you want to, right? And so I've noticed it's totally different rewriting a book, right? The updated and revised version. I'm curious, what were the top 2 or 3 takeaways for you in rewriting this book?
Well, first of all, it was more work than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to get away easy. It wasn't easy. But writing doesn't come easy to me. I mean, I'm a writer. Writing comes easy, but I am so particular about it, so meticulous, which I would suggest not doing. And I would suggest what I do is what you absolutely shouldn't do is I edit as I write, which is like the worst. I know it's the worst thing to do, but I do it. Yeah. And so it was a lot of work. I did.
So less or more than writing the first version?
No, but writing the first version was like an insane amount of work.
Yeah.
That was it. That was one. You know, I added three new, first thing I did is I reread the whole book, which, you know, the deal is you have to, this might sound amazing, but after you write a book, you can't remember what's in it. I mean, you know, I wrote it, it came out 7 years ago. That means some of it I wrote 9 years ago. I couldn't remember what was in it. So I at first was I reread the whole thing. Then I went through and I freshened everything. And there was stuff that, like, you know, the first book talked about teleseminars. I mean, no one, we don't exist anymore. And there was just a few of those things that need to get refreshed. Some of the, you know, I updated, there's a bunch of stories, there's case studies. So I updated and refreshed those. But I added, basically added three new chapters, and then two sections got major rewrites, like the open cart that was just not a big deal before. The whole idea of lists, you know, I used to be 100% about email, and I still am. I still love email, but the idea of it's more about your overall audience, meaning treating your email and your social as like really one audience and thinking of them that way. And then I added chapters on social, and obviously social was a thing in 14, but now it's a much bigger thing. So how do you use social launches? How do you use paid traffic within launches? How to do launches using live broadcasts? Those are all really big new things. And so added those, tweaked and refreshed the whole thing, took out a story or two. Frankly, this is one thing I did, Chandler, is I went and I read the one-star reviews on Amazon. So the original book, 2000 some reviews, and some of those were one-star reviews. So I went back and I read them, and I'm like, okay. And a lot of them were just like, you know, cranks, you know, it's just like, you know, they're going to, they're haters going to hate. Right. But, but that being said, the one-star review, two-star reviews, there were some themes in them. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to address these themes. And frankly, one was, people thought I had a huge ego. And Chandler, I think you, you know, one thing you can never brag about
is how little of an ego you have.
You can't, but I'll speak to brag about.
You're, I mean, you're a very understated guy. I know that. Everyone knows it. Yeah, 100%.
And thank you. Yeah, you can't brag about being humble. But, you know, I think most, I try to stay humble. I think it's a, it's an important skill in business. And I think most people, they think I'm pretty understated, but there are some segment of the people reading the book that thought, wow, he's really full of himself. So I'm like, I reread the book with that lens. I'm like, where is that coming from? And frankly, a lot of it is, you know, I'm an American, you're an American. A lot of people around the world think Americans are really full of themselves. So I treated it through that lens. And another one is the things was people thought, they said, it's just this to upsell you into the course. It's just all about his course, his course, his course. And like literally that my course was never mentioned a single time in the first version. And I'm like, why is that? And then I got to thinking, I talk about the product launch formula is it's a formula, it's a process, it's what I teach. And then I have this thing called the product launch formula coaching program, and that's the course. But in the book, I would often say product launch formula, and people were assuming I was trying to sell the course when I really, I mean, ultimately I'd love people to buy the course, but in the book, I'm going to teach as much as I can and let them find their way to me. And so I, in subtle ways, I addressed both of those in the book by, you know, just to try to take away a little bit of the, of what was turning people off.
Got it. That's interesting. So it seems like, okay, so you started by reading the whole book. I did the same exact thing. I marked it
up. Did any of it surprise you, Chandler? Did you get the stuff? Like, well, I didn't know I wrote that. It's like,
Well, and I'm sure. So it's so funny how many similarities, because I published this book in 2016. Sorry. No. 2016. And so that was 5 years ago. And so yours was, you know, 7 years ago, I guess, by the time you started writing it, or 6, 7 years. So same thing. But yeah, it's like, you see, okay, there's a bunch of stuff outdated. Some of this just sucks. Like, I've learned so much more since I wrote this. Like, this is just such an elementary version. Like, our programs have iterated hundreds of times since then, and this book hasn't, right? So it's like, okay, this just needs a facelift. But then, yeah, did you mark up the book, or did you make like a note list and then work in the doc, or like just process wise, how'd you do that?
Yeah, I in Microsoft Word, I just went through. I made comments as I went through.
Cool. So you read it in the doc and then made comments.
I did.
Smart. Yeah.
I don't know. It might have been better to do hard. Well, like, yeah, I don't know if it was the best, just the way I did it. You know, in retrospect, I might have had just done a printout and as opposed to the book, like a little larger format to make notes, because I do like to write stuff. But yeah, that worked. And that way I could pass it along to like editors and team and stuff to take a look at and
bounce. That's nice. That's smart. And then I just took a note of I just added it to my Asana to, I'm gonna go read the 1, 2, and 3-star reviews on Publish to see, you know, what are the themes and make sure that I'm addressing them. One thing I did, I don't know if you did this, is I just did a mind map. You know, we teach this, it's like the more writing method, mind map, outline, rough draft, editing. And so I did a mind map, but specifically for new content. So it was like, okay, here's all the new content. Now let me see how that fits within the outline. It sounds like that's kind of similar to what you did. And you said, all right, I'm going to add these 3 chapters here and like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I wish I'd done that, because I do a lot of mind mapping, but I didn't, at least literally. But I mean, like a lot of it, like the book has got a flow to it. It's not like discrete chapters that, like, you know, I know like Tim Ferriss, he always likes to write his books as individual chapters that don't relate to each other. And frankly, that makes it easier to write. It's a lot easier. Yeah. But mine has these stories that are threaded throughout and that refer back and forth. So if I had mind mapped it, I think it would have been easier, because there's new stories that are threaded throughout and callbacks. And I think that type of thing is a part of the book writing process that can be the hardest, because once you think you're done, you're 95% done, you have to go back and make sure everything's congruent and everything ties together. And if there's a callback here that it was accurate here and there. And I think a mind map would help with that. You know, Chandler, the first book, the first edition. So, you know, I have all these students that go through my work. Mm-hmm. And at that, when I started 2 years to write the book, and when I started writing it, I had basically documented, they'd gotten, the results were $400 million in total among all my students. But it took me 2 years to write. So by the time it was, you know, towards the end, it was up to $500 million. So in that book, one place it says $400 million.
And
and I'm like, and I didn't know that until I'm reading a review, and someone said, oh, this guy's full of shit. I don't believe anything. It's like he said $400 million in one place and five, which is it? And literally, it was we proofread that book 7 times outside of me, 7 other times by other people was proofread, and no one caught that, and I didn't catch it until, you know. So that's the kind of stuff you can catch, like, with when you understand how everything flows. And I did fix that in this book, and the number's a lot bigger now, so
over $1 billion. Well, hey, let's switch gears to marketing. How was your approach different in the relaunch versus the original launch?
Well, the original launch, I had a goal to hit the New York Times list, and we went all out. I mean, it was just a huge effort for our team for months and months. And we hit number one, New York Times. Yeah, go listen to that. I don't know what I said in that last podcast, but it sounds like I told the story on that our last conversation. So go listen to that one. But this time around, you know, I wrote this during COVID. And but another thing I did during COVID was completely reinvent my business. We had to really change a lot of gears. We used to do live events, big 1,000, 1,200 person live events. We used to do smaller events. We used to do all in person, and we couldn't do that. So we had to do a massive reinvention of the business. And I rewrote the book. And by the time, frankly, I shouldn't be saying this on your podcast, but by the time we got to the, you know, sort of time to launch, I was like, I'm tired. And I want to just do the minimum viable launch because, frankly, I already got the New York Times. I got number one New York Times. No one can take that away from me. No one can take that away from the book. And so I'm not after the bestseller lists. I know with my platform, I'm going to sell a bunch of books and I'm going to continue to sell books for a long time. And so I just don't need that big a launch. And this is the launch guy telling you that I didn't, frankly, didn't sweat the launch very much. So yeah. Mostly what we did was we just leaned into our email list and we leaned into, you know, which is big. We've got a big platform, but also we leaned into our communities. So I've spent 16 years now teaching my product launch formula, and I've got a lot of people who are their big fans. It's changed their life. And I've got some really, my coaching community, very, very close and very, very tight. And my mastermind community, very, very close and very, very tight. So I really leaned into those folks to try to get them to help us spread the word, to try to get booked on their podcasts and their shows. And so it was absolute, how can I bring this out in a way that respects the work?
Yeah.
Yet not kill me or my team because we've been on an 18-month treadmill with COVID. And so that's what we did.
And so, I like that you just shared that because I think it's for some people, they're like, oh, wow. Okay. The sustainable launch almost I didn't just drop everything and go all out and all that stuff. But then it's what we call the 1 year launch, right? It's like, I believe that way too many people focus on launch week and not launch year. And if you're going to have a perennial bestseller that long-term grows your business, sells copies, all that, like you've got to be committed to the book over a long period of time, which seems like exactly what you guys have done. So it's like almost like first time it was extreme focus on launch week and launch first couple of weeks, hit New York Times, all that stuff. But now it's like, okay, how do we sustainably build long-term sales and it grows the business and all that stuff? What has been like, are there two or three things? I mean, you mentioned, I think right before we went live, like, hey, you want to get reviews and then set it up to sell long-term. Anything else that you've focused on or done that's moved the needle or sold books?
Yeah. I mean, we had an offer at the beginning with a bunch of bonuses. So then we're driving our list to, hey, go pre-order on Amazon, send us the receipt and you get all these extra bonuses. So we did do that with our list. And then we followed up asking them for reviews. And we created a little launch team and with a Facebook group, again, pushing them to get the book and to share it and spread the love and to get us reviews. You know, Reed Tracy, I mentioned earlier, is, you know, a good friend of mine, CEO of Hay House, knows a lot of, they sell a lot of books. And he's like, if you get the 500 five-star reviews, that book's just gonna have legs. It's gonna keep on selling. So to me, you know, the idea of a launch, it is new. So anytime there's something new, it's exciting for people. And so I use that with our people to try, when I say our people, I mean my community, my audience, and try to drive that, the book, and really then try to drive reviews there. Because I'd love to get to those 500 reviews. Yeah. And if you're watching this right now and you read the book,
leave a review.
It's important. It's very, very meaningful. And so that we did about 3 weeks after the book came out, we did a 99-cent offer, the Kindle version. And that drove it. That actually hit Wall Street Journal bestseller, which the first edition did.
Oh, cool.
So So I did get a bestseller out of it. So that was pretty fun. And then just sort of building it into my regular publishing. So, you know, that I mention it when, because I do like a weekly video, you know, blog thing that I've been doing. I don't know, there's like 500 of them. I've been doing it forever. And so now just starting to build in the mention of the book, because those videos get viewed, they're evergreen. They get viewed forever. So those big ones. And we're about to go into like a big launch for my coaching program that I do once a year. And I guarantee that a lot of people will be watching and say, okay, this online course sounds amazing, but I'm going to go check out his book. And even though I don't mention the book, but they'll go check it out. So that'll drive a spike in sales as well. Sure.
Anything else that you've set up intentionally to say like, all right, we're doing these one or two things to sell books long-term?
What we haven't set up, because we're about, our big sprint right now is to do this launch, but we will eventually set up some type of deal where we're selling it off of our site. And we'll probably do like, we haven't, this isn't 100%, but I would be surprised if we didn't do some type of a free plus shipping offer and just sell it off our site. And I know doing that, even if we're giving it away for free and you're charging $7 or $8 for shipping, and then that allows you to drive paid traffic into that page. Mm-hmm. And because you're getting the leads, and the leads are so valuable, and usually there'll be some type of an upsell afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, you teach and you're all that.
Yeah, but, for sure.
One thing I do know is that allows you to spend money to drive traffic to your site for your book, mm-hmm. but that will also, people will end up going to Amazon and buying it. So mm-hmm. it gives you the capability to spend money advertising where you really can't. I don't think you can really make that work to spend money for advertising direct into an Amazon sale. I don't know, maybe someone's making it work, but I'm not familiar with them if they are.
Unless you're running Amazon ads, but then you don't keep the customer data and there's no upsells and you're basically relying on the book to do the heavy lifting. Hey, we're almost at time here. I've got a couple kind of just like rapid fire questions for you. I noticed you, I can't remember if you did the same with the first book, but I noticed at least for this one, I think you did it both times. You recorded the audiobook yourself. I'm assuming that's intentional to build affinity and like, and kind of escalate people from book buyers to, customers and that sort of thing. Was that kind of the thought process?
Yeah, last time I didn't, and this time I did record the audible version. It was a lot of work. It was hard.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things I've done in my business. But I have this audience, they're used to hearing from me and they've been hearing from me for years. And I know that I heard from a number of them before that they wished I had recorded the first version. And now I've heard from a lot of them that they're happy I recorded the second one. I worked with like crazy, insane pros. These guys were super pros, but like literally every page, I would have 4 or 5 or 6 restarts where I'd say something that wasn't perfect, but they reassure me that even the full-time professional audiobook readers still have the same experience.
Oh, for sure.
And so it came out really good. I usually hate listening to myself, but it came out really good and people loved it. And it's a greater intimacy. At the end of the day, that intimacy is going to, it's going to drive them to take action with what they've heard or read. Yeah. And it's also going to bring them more into my world. And I know we have people buying both the hardcover, either the hardcover or the Kindle, and also buying the audio and sort of doing the reading it while they're listening. And I think they're doing it a lot more because it's my voice.
Yeah. I would believe that. Are you still selling the original copy of the book, or is this updated or revised only? And either way, what's the why behind that?
There's still a few copies of the original that I think were in stock wherever.
Got it.
So they're selling out. And then of course there's the international versions, I don't know, there's 12 or 14 or 16 different languages. And those are all in individual deals, and they'll keep on going until they expire, whenever they expire. Some of them like this year, some of them 5 years from now.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Cool. That makes sense. Well, Jeff, knowing what you know now, what would be your advice to someone who's thinking about relaunching their book?
Well, I'm really happy with it because it's a lot better book. It's tighter, it's better edited, it's better written, it's better for having gone and watched those 1 and 2 star reviews. So I do love having a book that I love. And I love that first version, but I really, really, this is so much better in every way. And so I'm stoked about that. But you know, don't go in thinking it's not going to be any work. I thought it's just going to be, I'll just breeze through it. And it ended up being a significant amount of work, but I am so happy. And, you know, and it's totally rejuvenated. It's selling like crazy now, a lot more than it was selling. So I think it's a great plan. It's sort of a do-over, you know, the first time through, there's so much that's unknown. And I think we hit it out of the park with the first one, but just getting it 10 or 15 or 20% better. I really feel great having this book out there.
That's great. Awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you so much, Jeff. This has been amazing. Where can people go to find out more about you, your coaching program, buy the book, all that good stuff?
Well, it's the book's anywhere. This is what it looks like. Here we go. That's, you can find it anywhere. It's, books are sold. Amazon is a great place to get it. Just called Launch. And then if you want to know more about what I'm doing, productlaunchformula.com. That's productlaunchformula.com. And that's where I just give away all kinds of free training. Periodically, I do it as like a live launch where everyone can go through it and go through all my training. So that's the best place to really find more.
Cool. Productlaunchformula.com. Guys, Jeff's the real deal. I've obviously learned a lot from him in self-publishing school. Would not be what it is. And there's a good chance it wouldn't exist because we wouldn't have had any money to get out of the first year. And the product, I mean, following the product launch formula is a big part of how we launched. And then ultimately that kind of gave the cash and the fuel to invest, to grow, to scale, to all that stuff. So check it out. It's legit. Jeff, thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. Great to be here with you.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.